Welcome to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome, everyone, to the Gym Podcast. Welcome, folks. I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me this week, as always, is the one, the only, Randy Darsh!
Hello, everybody. I'm excited. We definitely got our money's worth this last week of college football. We have so many topics that we're ready to talk about.
Yeah.
I can already tell. I don't know which topic is going to trigger me or trigger you, but a rant is coming. Like, I can just feel it. We don't actually have something like some spiel planned. I'm just saying.
No.
I know how this goes.
We
have so many conversations about college football. We just know how it goes.
Dude, so let's start with this, Randy. This last weekend of college football, come on. Like, we're spoiled, aren't we? I was thinking that we are actually spoiled with this sport sometimes. You know what I mean?
It's so comical sometimes the way this happens. You can't script better endings and better storylines than what we get. Why don't we start out with something a little bit more anticlimactic? I want to talk about the Friday game, Arizona State versus Utah. I don't really want to actually talk about the game as much as I want to talk about a problem we have in college football right now.
Oh, okay.
Cam Rising.
Scam Rising.
Utah's quarterback. He is declared out for the season.
Yep.
Keep in mind, he did not get re-injured in the game. He just has the same hand injury he tried to play through, and it was kind of whatever. He did not get re-injured in the game. But they're basically doing this to save his red shirt to get him an 8-year of eligibility.
Is that the thing? Because I heard he was out. Do you think that's the actual – is that the truth?
He played versus Arizona State.
But I guess –
And now all of a sudden he's declared out for the year after the game, even though he did not re-injure his hand in the game.
So is that the idea, that like they're going to redshirt him again so he can theoretically play in 2025? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, they're basically just chalking the season up to like whatever, and they're gonna play him in 2025. So, dude, he is a decade older than Ryan Williams. At some point, you just need to go to the insurance agency and get a job.
Get a job, bro, dude.
Like it's college football. I get there should be medical red shirts and all that. And I agree with that.
Sure.
But it gets to a point where it's a little ridiculous.
Oh, it's definitely ridiculous. I mean, at this point, Scam Rising. I don't even know what they see in him, because like he played a little bit this year, and his stats were pretty mediocre. You know, he didn't light the world on fire or anything with Utah in 2024. I just let it go, man. Like, who wants to see Cam Rising play next year? Not me.
I mean, at a certain point, you know if you've got it or not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Quarterbacks don't all of a sudden become good out of nowhere in their mid-20s. You kind of know by their early 20s if they're still developing or, like, what kind of potential they have. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And, hey, I mean, speaking of quarterbacks that are out for the season, I think we got to pour one out. Graham Mertz tore his ACL this last weekend. The Florida Gator legend, Graham Mertz. He's done. I think that's it. I think this is the last we'll ever see of Graham Mertz on the football field. And it just saddens me, man. It just saddens me thinking about the wasted potential of Graham. You know? Wishing Graham the best here at the Gym Podcast.
I agree with you, because I remember how exciting it was to watch his first ever game where he set some kind of, what is it, completions record.
It was the dairy raid, dude.
21 of 22.
It was insane. He looked amazing, and then he got COVID, and I don't know what happened the rest of his career, but he never looked good again.
He never replicated that performance. That was his first ever performance, was the best performance of his career, and it's so sad to see that.
Yeah, it's like Kenny Hill. Remember Kenny Hill from Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Kenny Trill, as they called him.
Because he had his first good game against South Carolina ever as a true freshman and never replicated it.
Think about how lucky we are that Kenny Hill didn't happen in the NIL era. Like, imagine how insufferable the Kenny Trill stuff would have been in 2024. We dodged a bullet. Actually, scratch that. Think about Johnny Manziel in the NIL era. Can you even fathom?
He was paid. That's true. The thing. True. It's just, you know.
He was already rich, I guess. I feel like we haven't really had a Johnny Manziel figure in a while, and I kind of don't get it, because like you'd think
now. I
wonder
if it's because, like, you know, because now everybody's getting paid, you're no longer special.
That's true.
He's no longer special. There's so many like diva players now, he doesn't stand out.
That's true. I feel like Baker Mayfield was the last really big, like, bad boy. You know what I mean? Like,
and he played the role very well.
He was good, at least. You know, unlike, I still think Johnny Manziel was very overrated. And I say that as a Bama hater, you know. But he made his entire career was that Bama game where he upset you guys.
He was fun to watch. That's the thing. He was entertaining. And that's what the sport is about, entertainment, right?
True.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to some of the other games.
Let's go for it.
We're going to talk about Ohio State, Oregon. Does Ohio State have any chance left to really win the Big Ten? I mean, yes. I know you guys are the lock to win it, but...
Oh, come on. I know Wisconsin, you know, we're kind of front runners now. But yes, I mean, the thing is, like, Ohio State, like, on paper, if they win out, like, they're in, probably, right? I don't see anyone else really in the Big Ten who poses a serious threat to them. People will say they'll say Penn State, but Penn State's not good, right? Like, right? We can agree on that. Penn State's not the real deal.
I can agree with. Okay, I was about to ask you. So, both Penn State and Alabama played 3-2 USC, and both kind of struggled. Why was the reaction so much more extreme to Alabama struggle win than Penn State struggle win?
Because USC, though, the real USC, even though they're not good, is like a respectable on paper institution. Like, you can understand, man. For whatever reason, like, the USC Trojans will always have some weight to them. It's not warranted, it's not earned, but like, people take them more seriously than they're going to take South Carolina. You know?
That is very true. It definitely seems like a name on the jersey thing as well. Especially, like, even when it comes to us being Alabama, people don't expect us to struggle at all.
That's
it's
true.
Like, look, dude, we have a new coach and everything.
Yeah.
We're still just as capable as winning these championships as we are. Like,
Penn State struggling's not news, right? That's pretty standard.
Right.
At the end of the day.
And the thing with Oregon, people also need to be careful about writing teams off because they're fraudulent because of look at how they looked when they played their absolute worst football while ignoring their best football. Because things can turn around very quickly.
Look,
need I remind you, remember the first 2 weeks of the season where we clowned on Oregon?
Yeah. And now they're
really fun their schedule.
They're arguably the best team in the nation, kind of, maybe.
Yeah, I think they're ranked number two at this point.
One or
you
two,
know?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm still, the verdict is, the jury's still out on Oregon. I feel like, honestly, this is kind of crazy, man, but like, with Saban gone, it feels like anyone can win it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no truly elite team this year. There's no, like, you know. There's no.
That's very true. There's a lot of teams that you look at and you're like, yeah, they could win it. Yeah, they could win it.
But
yeah,
they could also lose
Oregon,
it.
Ohio
yeah.
State, Alabama, yeah. Texas, Wisconsin.
We got to talk about Wisconsin. I mean, you've been hinting at it. Here's the thing, man. Okay,
I know you're excited, too.
I got to give some shouts out. I here's the thing. People are going to look at this game, Wisconsin versus Rutgers, and you know they're going to say, it's Rutgers. And hey, I get it. I'm a Butgers hater as much as the next guy. But we were 3-point underdogs heading into this game, believe it or not. On the road against a 4-1 Rutgers, Wisconsin came out and dominated 42-7 in Big Ten play, by the way. The last 2 weeks of Wisconsin football have been the most fun I've had watching Wisconsin football in 5 years. Let that sink in. All right. Like, this is the first time.
I can understand that.
It's the first time.
Wins.
Yeah. Because we haven't been dominant, dude. Like, even when we've won games under Fickell so far, it's been like, what are we doing out here, guys? Like, a lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers, a lot of just yuck play. But no, dude, the dairy raid is finally... It's going online. The dairy raid is here, and it's just.
And this is beautiful. What I was saying when I watched our game. When I watched our game versus Wisconsin, I was like, I see a lot of things that I kind of like about Wisconsin. There's things, the pieces are there. They just need to pull it together, and it's starting to come together a little better.
Yeah.
And also, I'm going to be honest. I have a bit of incentive to hype you guys up.
You
because
do.
I want our wins to
quality
look good.
Win. We're the second
quality
best
win
right? You guys have right now, probably. So, yeah.
But that's the thing. We played you when we were looking kind of we were almost at our best when we were playing you. That's kind of one of the peaks and valleys of the season, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long season, man. But I'll say this, finally, the part that gives me the most hope and optimism is we're looking good with Fickell's guys. Like, all the players that are stepping up and making big plays and, like, really, you know, putting on a big role in this team are 100% guys that either transferred here under Luke Fickell or even are like true freshmen under Fickell. And that's what gives me a lot of hope because, man, what Paul Chryst left us with in terms of the roster was just disgusting. So
I do think you guys are actually doing things right and that you're using the transfer and NIL and the portal and everything, but you're not abusing it like some teams do. You still have to recruit out of high school. You still have to build a team. Can just be done a little bit quicker nowadays.
Yeah.
And like you're getting guys to, I think, buy into the program a little better.
Yeah. I got a good segue here. Good transition, actually. Our best running back this year, Tyvee Walker, he had 3 touchdowns last week, transferred from Oklahoma, who could have used a good running back in their game last weekend against Texas. Did you watch that game, Randy?
I watched a little bit of it. I kind of turned it off in the second half.
It was pretty boring. Yeah, it was kind of a blowout, wasn't it?
I've kind of felt bad for Oklahoma.
Do we, though?
This is the first time Oklahoma has had a bad offense in, like, 2 decades.
It's crazy to see, isn't it? 3 points. Like, what? It was bad. It was, like, they're as bad as advertised. I remember watching Oklahoma against Tennessee earlier this year, and they just looked totally flat on offense. Wild to see in our lifetime.
Another game I wanted to talk about was Mississippi State 31, Georgia 41.
Yeah.
I am starting to fear that this Georgia win was actually not that good of a win.
I kind of agree, Randy. I think Georgia's just – they're just, like, really – there's something odd about that program this year, isn't there? Just in general.
They have talent and they're disciplined in a sense, but there's just something missing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's quarterback play. I mean, Carson Beck's not horrible, but they're really trying to do – they're trying to play like an early 2020 Saban team, but without the same level of like real – like I don't know. There's perfection. Kind of attitude that goes along with
it. The attitude, the perfectionism is not there. And it shows because they have a new speeding ticket every weekend. Like, it's clear that, like, something is wrong with the program at this point, right? Like, something's not right. So
I don't know. I mean, there is a culture issue because we all saw the clip where Kirby Smart pushed a play.
Yes! And yes!
I'm not going to, like, completely over-exaggerate it. It looked like he was kind of, like, shoving him to get to the ref. But it's like, dude, don't do that. Even Saban wouldn't do that.
No.
Like, he would know the optics would say, don't do that.
Any coach would. Like, I feel like it's a Kirby Smart thing, man. Like, So, yeah, we'll get to it later, but Georgia plays Texas this weekend, and that's going to be, I think, a rude awakening.
We're going to get to that later.
It'll be a rude awakening. I'll leave it at that.
Did you watch the South Carolina-Alabama game?
Oh, only like the good parts, right? Like when it was getting close at the end
good parts?
Yeah. I mean, I had a feeling Bama would win this one. It's still crazy to me that South Carolina had a chance that late, though. Like, it could have happened. You know?
So there's this issue. I'm noticing their clock management with the new clock rules is becoming an issue that coaches need to learn to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an example. Whenever we caught like a touchdown with like a minute left,
mm-hmm.
the touchdown pass, it's like if he would have just gone down at the one,
mm-hmm.
we could have kneeled it out. Instead, he scores a touchdown. We go up by 8. South Carolina goes and they score.
Yep.
They get the onside kick at the 40.
Crazy.
Down by 2 with like 40 seconds left, and we're like, oh crap. But no, I don't want. Here's the thing, I've been seeing a lot of takes that amount to Alabama's gotten really lucky. It's like, no, we haven't. We've only been in these positions because of how comically bad our luck is. Executing 3 deep in our playbook defensive plays to get sacks and really frustrate the offense exactly when we needed to is not luck. That's just pure execution. Having the ball bounce in the exact wrong way on an onside kick is a luck factor. You know what I mean?
Skill issue, Randy. I don't know. I think what's crazy is just that it came down to luck in a sense. Like, it's wild to me that it's even this close is what I'm thinking. Like, this should have been...
I get what you're saying, but I don't like the idea. I don't like to say that it's just luck because at the end of the day, if you're playing better football and kind of have more things up your sleeve, you have a much... Those 50-50 chances aren't actually 50-50.
I get it. I get it. But...
There was also the situation in the Oregon game I wanted to bring up. If you noticed, if you remember, with 10 seconds left on 3rd and 15, Ohio State had the ball at, I believe, the 42. Oregon purposely sent a 12th player onto the field to ensure they could not, you know, throw a deep pass.
Mm-hmm.
take 4 seconds off the clock, know they're going to get a 5-yard penalty and be okay with that, just to ensure there's not going to be a gain on the play. And then with 6 seconds left, they know there's only one play left in the game. That really was actually genius.
It makes me mad, though, because I was thinking about this today, Randy. I fear that we may enter a new era of college football where every game ends kind of like how every college basketball game ends, where you're just playing penalties. It is really boring and really lame and really not exciting.
I don't think we're going to see that, because that's a loophole that's going to get – that's going to get patched real quick. If you remember the fake slide with Kenny Pickett, I believe, with the pick quarterback, yep, if you remember that.
Yep.
It's – they really – in football, they really don't like abusing rules like that like they do in basketball. They will put a stop to that.
I hope so.
Of the game, all that stuff.
Because it's against the spirit, right? It's just – it's a lame way. Like, it's – okay, it's fun that it happened once. Right, but now that it happened, it's like I don't want to see teams obviously putting 12 men on in these Hail Mary situations or something. It's just like, play the game. Like, play the game. That's I'm a boomer.
I agree with you. I do want these loopholes to be closed. By the way, Oregon, they traveled at Purdue this coming week. Are they about to find out?
Honestly, I don't think Oregon's gonna win by a ton. And Purdue's bad. But, like, man, I get the sense from Oregon, just based off their fan base, because I think teams are oftentimes kind of reflective of their fan base, you know? I think if the Oregon team and the locker room is just as up their ass as their fans are, pardon my French, but just, like, just in their own head and like, just kind of narcissistic as the fan base is, they're due for a game like this where they just lose to Purdue. You know? Like, they're going to be caught sleeping at some point.
And we've seen what they look like in the beginning of the season when they're sleeping. They almost lost to an FCS team in Idaho. Yeah.
So it's possible, man. Like, Oregon, there's bad vibes around that program. And, like, I want to like them, like, on paper. I keep saying on paper this episode. But, you know, I've always liked the O. I like the Duck. Right, I like green and gold. I like I like Shout, but just the fan base for Oregon has really rubbed me the wrong way since they joined the Big Ten, and I'd be curious your perspective on that, Randy, from outside.
You know, I get what you're getting at. They're very proud. They're almost like a not quite as bad version of Ohio State fans.
Right. But they haven't earned it yet because it's like their first year here, right? They haven't like dominated the conference. Like it's still year one.
Yeah, at least Ohio State, they're arrogant and they're like horrible to interact with. But like at least they've earned it, right?
Right. I'm thinking like the duck thing where they put the duck in like the Chicago River, and there's rumors that they're gonna put the giant duck in Lake Mendota when they come here to Wisconsin. And it's just like, man, like
earn it first.
Earn it. That's all I'm asking for. So and being weird about the rules like this and having 12 men on the field to win a game, that's not earning it, you know?
It's some Gus not on Auburn stuff to do that.
It's some Gus, yeah, man. So just weird vibes. I'm rooting for Purdue. That's for sure.
All right. I wanted to talk about Ole Miss, who is now 5-2, losing narrowly to LSU, who is now 5-1. Is LSU a serious contender at this point? They still have to play Texas A&M, Alabama, and Oklahoma, and Florida.
Yeah, I mean, just given, like, the 12-team playoff structure, right? Like, if LSU goes 10-2, they're probably in. So, yeah, I think LSU still has a chance. They're not winning the SEC or anything, but, like, LSU, they've got talent, right? Like, we know they can play well. It's just a matter of, you know, can Brian Kelly actually win the big games when need be?
9-3 LSU versus an 11-1 Big 12 or ACC team that did not win their conference championship.
LSU.
Who do you think the committee takes?
LSU. And they should. The Big 12 shouldn't have a team this year. Period. If I was in charge, I would not have a single Big 12 team. Quote me on it.
Yeah, even their conference champion's not
no.
going to be the
best. Iowa State? Are you kidding me?
Do you understand what we're saying now? Okay. I think you get it. You're starting. I'm bringing you over to the dark side.
Yeah, I get. Oh man, no. But dude, dude. Iowa State is gonna win the Big 12. It's Iowa State. Like Iowa State's gonna get a 4 seed over like Georgia.
So Iowa State is 6-0, and they're now at the favorable part of their schedule. But it's like, look at the toughest games they played. Iowa.
Seriously. Yeah.
Iowa's not. Iowa's not good. That's every week for the Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a harder team than Iowa.
Yeah. And no one's scared of Iowa, but that's the best team they're going to play all year. And just thinking about the fact that, like, man, Iowa State's going to get the 4 seed, and the 5 seed's going to be like Ohio State or like Georgia. it's insane. Like, it's insane to think
about. I remember you discussing this previously.
Yeah.
Where you said the 12th seed and the 5th seed is actually going to be the most coveted seed.
Yeah.
For the simple fact that you're going to be playing against somebody who really shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And you can beat your 12th seed. And your 12th seed is going to be like Liberty or something.
Sure.
You beat Liberty, and then all of a sudden you get to play Iowa State.
It's like so
the
easy.
5th seed.
Yeah.
Really seems to be the seed to go.
It might as well be easier than having a 1 or 2 seed, if I'm being real. So. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see whoever wins the Big 12 get pantsed. They're going to be pantsed in the playoffs.
You also have to remember BYU is 6-0 as well. They could very well go.
And they're going to lose. Someone's going to go, right? But, like, it doesn't matter who. Like, they suck at the end of the day. None of these teams are good.
It's crazy. None. I respect Boise State more than I respect any Big 12 team.
Same. Yes. Boise State.
At least they took it to Oregon and almost beat them, and they look good.
Yeah,
like they're tough, they're physical. I can respect Boise State for what they're doing.
I would be more afraid of playing Boise State than any Big 12 team. Period.
I agree. I feel the same way.
Let's move on.
All right, I'm trying to think of any other games that were particularly exciting. I know we still have Pitt, who is actually still undefeated. Illinois-Purdue.
We got to talk about this.
Where Purdue scored, what, 3 touchdowns in the final minutes to
a ranked Illinois? Yeah. So, this is a bit of a preview, but I got to give it my This Was Their Super Bowl award early. Illinois, this was their Super Bowl on the season because after beating 1-5 Purdue at home, they stormed the field. They stormed the field after Purdue scored 49 points on them. For context, the previous week, Wisconsin beat Purdue 52-6. And Illinois almost lost to Purdue in overtime. And is ranked above Wisconsin, by the way, in the AP poll. It disgusts me, dude. Like, it actually infuriates me. Illinois. I hate them. Like, it actually makes me really mad to think, like, I wonder how different my life would be if I was in a fan base where, like, storming the field after beating Purdue was fun. And you saw that as, like, the highlight of the year. Oh, my God, I went to the field, man. We rushed the field that game. Remember that? And you beat Purdue. Like, think about how different your life would be if that was you.
I feel like you have a bit of a personal vendetta against Illinois' current head coach.
Maybe. It's warranted, though.
Burt.
So, yeah. Congrats on the Super Bowl, Illinois.
All right. I'm going to give the This Was Their Super Bowl award to... It's kind of hard to choose for me this week. I mean, you gave the obvious answer, but I don't want to also give the obvious answer. I kind of want to give it to us. I feel like we shouldn't be... defending ourselves after a game like that.
Hmm.
So I'll give it to ourselves for that reason.
All right. Congrats to Bama.
Thank you.
Lombardi.
All right. So are you ready to move on to next week's games?
Let's go for it. Were there any other topics you want to discuss before we do previews, though?
I think we will get to it as we talk about it.
Okay. There's something I know you want to bring up, but we'll save that. What do we got for next week, Randy? What's coming up this week?
All right, so Friday we have the Oregon at Purdue game. You just want to mirror some of your thoughts that you've already shared about it?
I'm going to say this. Yeah, Oregon's going to win, but like, I think Purdue keeps it within 14. That's my bold prediction for this game.
Okay, I can see. I've noticed that traveling, they had a stat about traveling across time zones and how the traveling team is greatly affected. With it being at Purdue, that could actually be a huge factor. And it's on Friday night, so they're having a lot of travel on a short week.
Yeah,
So yeah. That's going to be very interesting.
And a hangover. They're still partying now, dude. Like, they're not... It's Tuesday as of recording this. They're not practicing. Like, they're not, you know...
They're partying, dude. Yeah, exactly.
They're not even trying. So, yeah, this will be a game to look out for.
Yeah, so we also have Miami at Louisville at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Is this the game Miami's where... undefeated? Yeah, do you think this is the game where Miami just finally loses, like we predicted?
I feel like they're going to lose to a funnier team to lose to.
Yeah, classic ACC.
Classic ACC. That's the thing. They'll survive in Louisville. They might lose to Florida State just because it'd be funny. I could see them losing at Georgia Tech.
No, I see them losing to Duke, dude. That seems way funnier. But I know what you mean. They're due for their loss will be funny. It will be unexpected. So the fact that we're talking about it this week means that they're probably going to win. Right, we're expecting.
They've had 2 weeks in a row where they have survived some really close scares. I get the Cal game was at Cal, and it was at night, three time zones away.
Yeah.
And they did come back and win 39-38. But yeah, with these kinds of scares, you gotta be very careful. You'll get beat doing that.
Right. Maybe they wake up this week. Maybe they they're on alert finally and kind of get their act together.
True. We have 4-2 actually, Virginia at 5-1 Clemson. Do you think Clemson has kind of picked it up a little bit, or do you think they're just fraudulent on playing a bad schedule? Do you think Virginia has any chance in this game?
The thing is, they're doing well against bad teams, but you look at their schedule this year, dude. They don't play any good teams. Like, they're gonna keep winning games like this, right? The only ranked team they play the rest of the season is at Pitt. I don't think that's going to be a challenge, but Virginia, Louisville, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, no offense, Bama. These should be pretty easy wins, I think, for Clemson, regardless of whether or not they're elite.
But that's just a fraudulent schedule. They play one top-ranked, top-10. They play one top team and just get dominated.
Destroyed.
By an easy schedule with superior talent. Come on.
It's tough because I would like to see how they stack up against Georgia now. Because I do want to know, what is what we're seeing real, or is it just is the ACC that bad? You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah, I know what you mean. Because, for the first game of the season, there's so many variables out there.
Kind of crazy.
So. I think if they played them at the end of the season, it wouldn't be the same type of game, but I think it would be another type of game where they just can't quite keep up and lose by maybe 2 touchdowns.
Sure. I could see that. We'll probably find out in the playoffs, if we're being honest. So,
we have a very interesting 11 a.m. slate, because the next game I want to talk about is 5-1 Nebraska at undefeated 6-0 Windiana.
I hate these teams, dude. I hate that they both have good records, because neither team has played good opponents.
They played nobody.
Nobody. And so it's a weird case where I want both teams to lose. If I had to pick a team to root for, it's probably Indiana. Just because I really hate Matt Rule and Nebraska. But I could see this. I could see Indiana winning this one and it being a big deal, even though Nebraska's not good. But it's another big name. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. We're starting to see a little bit of separation, because now we're getting to the point where this team only has one loss. Could they make a Cinderella run? This team's still undefeated. Cinderella run. Mm-hmm. We're now actually going to see some of these matchups take place, and I think that's going to be interesting just for that purpose alone, to see what happens.
Right.
It's probably going to be a really close game.
Yeah.
But if it's a really close game, it means neither team is going to really... Both teams are going to get exposed at some point. They're going to play Ohio State.
Indiana, dude. I'm glad. They play Michigan and then at Ohio State in their last two games of the season, and it's just... It's going to be awesome to see. It's going to be great to see them get exposed eventually. So, look forward to that.
We have a lot of great 11 a.m. games. I'm going to be very interested to pay attention to. There's another one I wanted to actually talk about. 2-4, winless in the SEC, Auburn, at 5-1 Missouri. And I'm going to give the lock of the week. This is the exact type of garbage that Auburn loves. They're going to win the game.
Yeah. Why is that?
It's just Auburn, man. They will do the thing about, I know people don't like to hear it, SEC every week, but it actually is true that while Auburn is a horrible team, they have a lot of talent on paper. And they can randomly show up and get it together for one or two games a year, mm-hmm. and they can be extremely dangerous to play. And that's what makes these teams dangerous, is that you're not just going to be able to out-athlete them in the sense of they have zero shot. There's going to be games where they actually look competent and have a shot, even if they're an otherwise horribly coached team that's, you know, doesn't have a good playbook, et cetera.
And what's interesting is I feel like Mizzou is, like, fraudulent this year. I mean, you saw how they got destroyed by Texas A&M. And if you look at Mizzou's schedule, they play Auburn this week and then at Alabama the following week. It's entirely possible they're just, like, caught looking ahead in this game as well. And so I agree with you, man. I could see Auburn definitely coming out and just, like, just scoring a lot of points and Mizzou just not being able to keep up.
We saw Auburn actually compete relatively well with Georgia, you know. I mean, they kind of got out, or in Oklahoma especially.
Yeah. They can compete, but can they finish?
It wouldn't take cleaning up that much to actually have a somewhat competent, dangerous football team.
And I agree. And they had a bye week this last week, so give me the real Tigers, the Auburn Tigers,
the real Tigers.
Sorry.
At 2:30, we have Alabama 5-1 at Tennessee 5-1. I wanted to hear your thoughts on this game,
dude. So, like, when we went into this season, and especially like after, you know, Bama was kind of struggling here and there, I was looking forward to this game thinking, you know, as a Bama hater, like, yes, Tennessee, dude, they're finally going to expose Bama. It's going to be awesome. It's at Neyland, right? All this stuff. Dude, I watched Tennessee last week against Florida. Have you watched Tennessee this year?
I watched a little bit of the Florida game. I watched the Arkansas game and the Oklahoma game.
I don't know if I could really overstate just how bad Tennessee is. Like, Tennessee's not good at all. They're not the 11th best team of the country. Their offense is abysmal, abhorrent, dare I say, at times. And even though Bama's obviously kind of in a funk right now, it seems, I think, like, Bama kind of fuels itself off of hatred, you know, with the kill everyone mentality. Dude, I think Bama's going to blow the brakes off Tennessee. I think they're going to annihilate them on the road.
Yeah, so I'm not going to be, you know, baited into jinxing anything.
Not anymore this season.
No, but I find it interesting that both teams have kind of been in a funk lately, and I'm not going to write Tennessee off because, I mean, they did put up 51 versus NC State, who was in their own funk. I get NC State's not the greatest.
Yeah.
But they have an offense that can click, and our defense is so susceptible to giving up freaking 8-minute-long drives.
That's
keeping
true.
Our own explosives off. Like, here's the way our team likes to play, is that ultimately when we have the talent we have and we have the explosive offense we have, we want to lengthen the game and have as many possessions per game as possible. But our defense does not allow for that. They're not suited for that. For example, in the South Carolina game, the first drive of the second half, they drove down the field, 90-yard drive, took 8 minutes off the clock. It was actually more than 8 minutes off the clock. It was like 9 or 10 minutes off the play clock and scored. It's like, okay, so now our offense is going to see the field for the first time with 6 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't know if Tennessee's offense is built to have sustained drives.
It's not.
Like, I think it's a good matchup for us.
Yeah. No, Tennessee, it tries to be explosive like Bama, but, like, can't. Like, the Nico Iamaliva, he ain't the guy, man. He's not Jalen Milroe, even though he wants to be. So
he doesn't have the same physical
skill
set and tools. I mean, he's 6'6", 215, which is actually kind of skinny.
But he's a freshman, you know. So, like,
he's a freshman.
He's got a ways to go.
Their offense is, they're trying to do what we do. I mean, heck, maybe they are able to pull it together and really make it work this week. Tennessee's a great team, so we're going to actually have to be
look
very
at that
careful.
Respect. Look at the respect. The mutual admiration.
They have a lot of talent. They have a good quarterback. I mean, you just got to be. It is what it is.
Red poison.
I love that Kalen DeBoer has a great record in this game. So I am hoping that he really knows how to pull them together for this game, because that's just how he is. If you look at his games at Washington and these top five matchups, crap, Tennessee's not a top five team.
Sorry,
so we're actually going to lose.
Yeah, sorry.
I just realized they're not a top five team. We're going to have to lose. I just know how he is versus real top games where he's really paying attention, mm-hmm. is that he will come out, and even at Washington, he would go up by 2-3 scores and then mm-hmm. kind of let up.
Yeah.
It's just how he is.
I don't know why.
So I'll be curious to see if we start out hot, firing on all cylinders, and then Tennessee kind of creeps back, and people treat the game as if it was closer than it really was.
Maybe.
Like, it might technically be a one-score game, but yeah. we all know that Tennessee wasn't going to have the ability to really
Yeah, it's going to depend on how, like, the fourth quarter shakes out, right? If it's like, does Tennessee actually have a chance at any point, or are they just always playing catch-up, you know? Should Very be fun. True. Have fun. Have fun. I don't like Tennessee, really, so I'm cool with you guys beating them down. It should be fun.
I don't like them either.
You're going to be there?
No, I'm not going to be there. I said I don't like them either.
Okay, fair enough. Another 2:30 game we got to talk about, by the way. Michigan, number 24, at number 22, Illinois. This disgusts me that Illinois is 22. and Michigan's not good this year, but like this, Michigan's going to annihilate them, dude. Just like the talent gap. This is the first talented team Illinois has faced all year. Other than Penn State, whom they also lost to. So, yeah. I think Michigan wins by like 3 or 4 touchdowns.
I agree with you. I know Burt's going to try to play, you know, keep away.
He's try.
Pound.
Yeah.
Early 2010s Wisconsin football, but I don't want to win with less talent. Like, Michigan does that better.
Yes, they're actually good at it.
They have more talent, so they're actually good at doing that. They've just played a tougher schedule up to this point. That's literally the only difference.
Yeah.
Michigan is obviously a much better team.
Yeah.
I really just don't see this game being close. Or if it's close, it's like a fool's gold close.
Yeah, I agree.
Where Illinois really was never any threat to actually score and go ahead.
Right, for sure.
6:30. We have
game of the year?
The game of the week, really.
Game of the week.
We have 5-1 Georgia at 6-0 undefeated Texas. How many touchdowns do you think Georgia loses by?
Well, let's see, because Texas beat OU 34-3. Probably about 4 or 5. Do you think that's about the ballpark?
I don't think it'll be like that. I know Kirby is, for all his faults, he is a great game day coach, and he knows how to, he's really good at adjustments. So mm-hmm. I can see it being a situation not quite as extreme, but similar to the Bama game. Texas goes up early, kind of keeps them at arm length. But Georgia's going to know how to get some things done in the fourth quarter and at least keep it somewhat close. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see them ever actually being as a threat to go ahead. And if they do, it's going to be a similar situation where Quinn Ewers is going to be able to make another play. Right when Georgia is in striking distance, Texas makes a play kind of thing.
Yeah. Quinn Ewers, it's crazy to me that Texas is only favored by 3.5 points. Like, there's like so little doubt in my mind that Texas is going to win. It's like only a question of like how good is Texas going to look in this game? Like, Georgia's just like, man, it's crazy too, because Texas is like kind of where Georgia was, it feels like, a couple of years ago.
You know what I mean? I know what you mean. It's kind of odd. I mean, like I said, I trust Kirby in the fourth quarter. If you remember the fourth quarter of the Bama game, mm-hmm. the fourth quarter of that Ohio State game with CJ Stroud, where they had to score, 16 unanswered? Mm-hmm. In the fourth, they know what to do in the fourth quarter, so they'll keep it close.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I hope Georgia loses by a lot, though. I really that program needs to be humbled at this point. So,
yeah. Have you ever noticed? This is a random side note.
Please.
Have you ever noticed that, like, when the West Coast players, like Cal and everything, they don't have any tattoos?
I'm glad you're finally bringing this.
But in the SEC, our players all have like full sleeves and everything.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, right?
I just find that interesting. I feel like you kind of need that bad boy, tough mentality to really succeed in college.
The farther to like the southeast you go, the more tattoos. It's like a gradient as you go farther.
Look at Miami.
Which leads to Miami, which is like the most tattoos per square inch of any college program.
Dude, the white players from Miami look like the greatest, like. There's a stereotype of the white player at Miami where they have the long hair.
Yep.
They look tough. They have really colorful, like a bunch of tattoos.
Yeah. I know
what you mean, dude.
When you envision a Miami player, that's exactly what comes to mind. And it's kind of crazy. I couldn't name a single like white Miami player, but like you can so vividly see one in your mind, you know?
You know what's crazy is like Cam Ward. You can tell Cam Ward is not from like the Southeast. He's from Texas, but he played at Washington State.
Let's look him up.
You can just tell he's not from the real Southeast because he doesn't have tattoos. He'd be, if he wants to win the Heisman, he's going to have to get some tattoos.
Think so? He's got to hurry.
I think so.
He's
got to hurry. It's midseason. It's going to be painful midseason.
No, you're right. Campbell, he's kind of a bit too, like, he doesn't look like he's on cocaine. You know, it's like he's way too chill.
Maybe if he get, I don't know if he has another year of eligibility. Maybe he can get some in the offseason.
Think so? Dude, you know he's going to the NFL.
He's really good. By the way, do we want to give like a little bit of an updated Heisman watch?
I think we should.
Who do you think it's going to be?
I think we should. I think like given the current state of affairs, it's got to be Geety from Boise State, right? Is it like Ash Geety? What's his name? Ashton?
Ashton Geety. I just don't know how I feel about him because his competition he's played has been kind of not the best. Kinda but sense. He is super... He is really good. Don't get me wrong, but it's just, it's different to see him do that versus Hawaii rather than, you know, maybe Oregon. I mean, in the Oregon game, I'll give him this.
Sure.
In the Oregon game, he had 25 yards. He had 192 yards and 3 touchdowns versus Oregon. Yeah. So, like, he's clearly everything he's hyped up to be.
Right.
But I would just like to see that week after week after week getting beat up, having to do that over the course of the season, rather than having one game you have to really get up for and then a bunch of obviously inferior athletes you go up against and just bully and not really get beat up.
Is it sort of, I feel like no one's talking about this guy, but Quinn Ewers? Am I losing my mind here thinking he deserves maybe a chance?
He missed a couple games, and they really didn't skip a beat when Arch Manning came in. So I think that's going to hurt him. I still think it's going to be Diego Pavia.
For the no fact, bias or anything.
No, he is doing so much more with so much less. He's got the attitude of a Heisman winner.
He does. I think Vanderbilt, though, they got to keep winning, though. Like, they can't. Like, a 6-6 Vandy's not going to get them, you know, to the Heisman ceremony. I think how he does against Texas will be very telling because Vanderbilt still has to host Texas in a couple of weeks. That's going to be fun.
They play Texas, LSU, Tennessee.
So he's going to have chances, but he could also
fall flat. He doesn't have to win these games, though. He does not have to win these games to be able to get the Heisman because he already has his premier win.
I guess.
He has his moment already. He just has to really keep it up. But, like, I haven't really seen any true Heisman buzz about really any player at this point. You hear something by now?
Yeah.
And I just find that interesting.
It's wide open, it feels like.
Wide open.
So that's exciting. I don't know. Any other games, Randy, this weekend you're looking forward to?
Did you have any? I need to look at the schedule back up.
The schedule.
I don't know if you had any. We always had a little bit of a short episode this week.
Well, it's fine. It was a fun week. I'll give one final shout out here, for an upcoming game this week. At night, 9:30 p.m. TCU and Utah.
Ooh.
What do we think? Is anyone going to watch this game? Do people stay up this late and watch games at this point?
I actually will, depending on the game.
Cause like I was thinking about this last week. People kept talking about like the Hawaii test. Like, did you hear about this? Like the Hawaii test.
I have no idea what that is.
I guess it's like this idea of like if you like the test is to like watch games from like 11 a.m. or whatever when like the first game kicks off, all the way through when Hawaii gets done playing its home games at night. And I was thinking about it because like I just feel like I'm getting old. Like by like 9 o'clock I'm usually in bed most days, and like I'll oftentimes have like YouTube TV up on my laptop. And still watch games in bed, but I can't go much longer than 10 p.m. at this point. Do you feel this way, Randy, as a fellow boomer?
I'm starting to feel that way now that we're both in our 30s at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I have to agree. I don't know. If I'm gonna watch this later game, I always like take a break.
Yeah.
And do something else non-football related. Maybe eat some food, eat a snack, drink some water, whatever. And then I'll go into watching the 9:15 game. I love the idea of the 9:15 slot, but they need to... I don't know what it is. Whoever the networks are that host those games, though, are just so... They don't do the sound mixing well.
I agree.
They make the game feel dead.
I agree. ESPN, I think, probably mixes sound the best. It's one thing I thought about with that Oregon-Ohio State game. where, like, I'm reading, like, the comments and stuff from, like, Oregon fans on, like, Reddit and stuff, and, like, they're talking about how, like, the game was so much louder in person, the TV broadcast didn't do it justice, and, like, part of me thinks it's cope, but part of me also thinks, yeah, that game didn't feel that big. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel as loud as it should have been.
So what they do with the SEC is they mic up the band and they mic up the student section.
Yeah.
And they have it mixed to where you can hear the band pretty loud, but it's not louder than the commentators.
Yeah.
So the band's very loud and you hear a lot of cheering. And like, the band, it's the band.
It's
if
the
you,
band.
If you can hear the band playing their tunes, and the band kids are going to be cheering as well. It's going to add so much to the atmosphere rather than some kind of weird muffled, vague crowd noises.
I love it when, like, it's a big third down on a night game and the band's just like, burn!
Oh, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's third down and you hear, like, war chant or something really loud. It's like, it adds so much to the atmosphere.
Oh, it's unreal.
And we did not get that for the Oregon game.
Didn't feel that.
It took away from it.
It did. And I don't know if it was an Oregon problem or was it a, you know, CBS, whoever was hosting that.
CBS usually has good presentation. I don't know if it was CBS. I would have remembered hearing the thing.
All right. We're gonna start paying attention to this, I think. And we're going to keep track of, you know, what we need, like, a power
which
rating.
Which network is responsible?
Yeah, NBC. So it was NBC that hosted that game. So NBC, not getting high marks.
Now that I think about it, every Notre Dame game I've watched has the similar weird vibe.
Right.
And it's like Notre Dame has the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like...
Notre Dame has like the wine and cheese crowd vibe to it.
Yeah. Like, I've never gotten the sense of, like, no offense to Notre Dame fans, but you've never gotten the sense of it being like a really hostile environment. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Even night games and big games, it's just kind of like, they're polite. They're good Catholics, you know? But, like, I know Catholics can get rowdy and drunk. So, like, I want to hear, you know, I want to hear the roars, right? I want to hear some passion.
I want to hear them go for it. You know what I mean?
So, okay. We're keeping that in mind. If we're keeping that in mind from here on out, man.
Should we plug our group we've created?
I think we have to. You, go for it.
So, if anybody wants to join, literally all you have to do is reach out to me or Jimbo because we've created a group, Catholics Against Notre Dame Football. If you want to be in it, you're in. All you have to do is be Catholic and be against Notre Dame football.
It's easy. It's in the name.
Easy.
It's in the name. Wow.
Oh, man.
Randy, this has been a fun one. Looking forward to this weekend of college football, as always. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to the Jim Podcast. It's an honor, isn't it, Randy, to do this every week?
It is. It is. Very fun.
Looking forward to this Friday and Saturday of games. I hope everyone has a good time. And as always, Roll Tide!